Yeah, sure thing, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Who's more surprised, you or everybody in baseball, that the Braves are where they're at?
I mean, it really is. Other than the A's, who were just incredible in their own right, like, this is really one of the biggest surprise stories we've seen in quite a long time. I think even the optimists would tell you they would probably win like 81 or 82 games at best. And those were, and I mean, those were people who were probably looking at a glass half full. I mean, I projected 78. So it's they end up winning 90, and they kind of cooled down a little bit that last week. So they could have very well reached 92 or 93. So it really is, it's impressive. The kids, they look like seasoned veterans. I mean, Ronald Acuna, of course, is like baseball's newest. He and Juan Soto are baseball's newest young stars, and they move him to lead off. He galvanizes the whole team. It's hard to get this guy out. Teams started having to throw at him. They didn't know how to get him out. I mean, it's like this team has really just come together. And so it's really interesting that they end up getting the Dodgers, because for a team that hasn't been there, there's only two guys left from that series in 2013. So for a team that hasn't been here before to face a team who's here every year, I'm really interested to see how that dynamic plays out.
And to that end, Gabe, you know, the Braves have kind of been sitting there for the last week as the West has been fighting it out. And then, you know, as we witnessed, the Central and the West have to play a 163rd game to figure out who wins the division and who goes to the wild card. How do you see it play out? What's the feeling over there about, you know, the Dodgers or the Rockies and them playing an extra game and the feeling of coming out to L.A. now playing the Dodgers?
Well, it's interesting because, like, we were talking to former Dodger Charlie Culberson about this, and he was pointing out a lot of times in baseball, the team that plays that is a good thing. They end up getting hot at the right time and yada, yada, yada. So it's kind of interesting. They're the only team that really sat that day out. So you can look at that in a couple of different ways. I mean, maybe you do want to be playing because they did clinch a week early when all these other teams were fighting for their lives that week. So, yeah, I think they're feeling really confident. This is a team that, despite having a lot of kids, no moment seems to be too big. Naturally, you're probably going to see some of these guys press at some point, just because that's human nature. You know, nothing seems to really faze them. So I think more than anything, they'll be excited to come out there and play in front of Dodger Stadium and to be in that moment. But we'll see how that kind of goes. Because again, they're an unseasoned bunch, and there's only two guys left from the last time these teams faced off. And I think that's really just how they handle these first two games. And if they can end up stealing out here, that could really play into their favor, of course.
And to that end, and I know players won't ever say anything about this that I'm about to ask you, but from the sentiment that you get, do they prefer the matchup with the Dodgers, or would they have preferred the matchup with the Rockies?
Well, it's tough to say. Yeah, the players wouldn't say that, because I tried to get it out of some of them, and they just wouldn't really do it. So when they played the Rockies at home, I think they got four games swept, and I think that was about the worst that they have looked this year. I ran a poll on Twitter, and 80% of Braves fans voted they wanted Colorado. And I think that the reasons why are pretty obvious. And I think that you play a team like Colorado that doesn't have – sure, they made it last year, but they don't have as much experience. They don't really understand what it takes, because like we saw with the Dodgers, you know, that's a team that when it really mattered most at the very end, they won those four straight games, and they know what they have to do. They were just in the World Series. So I think naturally you would probably prefer the Rockies just because of that aspect of it. But, I mean, again, like the way some of these guys are looking at it, a lot of these Braves are just – you know, they're happy to be here. I mean, no one really expected them to be here. And, I mean, the reality is if they do lose the series, this season is still such a colossal success for them that they would hold their heads high anyway.
Gabe Burns, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, with us, AM 570 LA Sports, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete. Okay, for people in Los Angeles that don't know the Braves, and quite frankly, most people in Los Angeles don't know the Braves, you mentioned Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
We know you have Freddie Freeman. Who else should fans look out for and talk about the Braves pitching?
So one guy that could really, I have a feeling that he'll have a big impact in this series is Johan Camargo, the third baseman. He wasn't a top prospect, which kind of makes him different from most of the other Braves young guys, because you hear about all these guys coming through the minors, and this guy compares to so-and-so, and all the hype with Acuna, and Albies had a huge first half. Camargo was never really a highly rated prospect. He came up, he looked like a utility guy, kind of similar to Charlie Culberson, a little more athletic. And he ends up kind of blowing up, and he hit 19 homers. His power projection is nothing like what people thought when he was in the minors, and he looks like he could be a full-time third baseman, which is huge for a team that they have Austin Riley, who's a top third base prospect, that they were looking at maybe free agency trades. How are they going to address third? Well, this guy, he's a solid defender. He's probably going to hit in the two spot in this series. So they would go Acuna, Camargo, Freeman, and Markakis as their top four, which those four will probably determine their offensive output in this series. So I do think Camargo's a switch hitter as well. I do think he's going to have a huge impact. And as far as the pitching goes, Mike Foltynewicz is going to start game one. He's a flamethrower. He was an all-star. He's kind of taken control of the number one spot in the rotation. Fully expect him to be hitting 99 out of the gate tomorrow night. So then they've got kind of – they haven't let on yet. We have a workout tonight at Dodger Stadium that perhaps we'll get more info there, but we don't really know yet how they're going to line up their rotation afterwards. We know that Anibal Sanchez and Kevin Gausman, who they acquired from the Orioles at the deadline, are probably going to pitch game two and game three. Game four is up in the air because they're considering Sean Newcomb, who would be their only lefty, to start in this series, which is notable, which is why he's getting as much consideration. Dodgers fans may remember him because he carried the no-hitter within one out in the last time these two teams played. And then there's Julio Teheran, who's, he was their five-time opening day starter. He's kind of been pushed down in the rotation now that they've, guys kind of come into their own. So, and he's not really a guy you'd want coming out of the bullpen because more often than not, his worst inning is his first. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how they end up playing that and if they decide to go ahead and start four righties or if they give Newcomb, who's kind of tailed off here in the last few weeks, a chance to go against the Dodgers again.
Hey, Gabe, you mentioned Charlie Culberson quite a bit, and he's a guy out here in Dodgerland that people still have fond memories of. They loved him when he was a Dodger, obviously came through several times. But a guy that was a Dodger, then at a Brave, and has come back and resurrected his career is Matt Kemp, was an all-star this year. What's the feeling in Atlanta about Matt Kemp?
It's a bit kind of carefree when it comes to Kemp because it's more apathetic just because they were not any good when he was there. And so the city was more focused on the Acunas, the Albies, Mike Soroka, a lot of these top young guys. They were kind of more the focus almost than a guy like Kemp was. But just because the team was, they were just being sold on minor leaguers while the team kind of struggled. And last year was really the first time that people kind of went back to, okay, how are we going to piece this team together? Because it looks like in 2018, they could be a 500 team. And Matt Kemp kind of, he put on weight, and it kind of became a thing where they prioritized moving on from him. I think it was best for both parties. And obviously I know Kemp has kind of tailed off lately, but with the start he had, I think it was best for him as well. So they ended up, of course, Alex Anthopoulos, the Braves GM, who was in the Dodgers front office for the past couple of years, managed to work out that, high salary swap that ended up sending Kemp back and then bringing in Culberson. And Culberson has been one of the most valuable, best players on this team. So I think that really worked out better than even Anthopoulos could have imagined.
All right, Gabe, we appreciate you jumping on. We'll see if they get that workout in. It's supposed to rain this afternoon.
Oh, that's crazy. Of course, You know, the Braves had more rain delays this year, so just the fact they come to L.A. and it ends up raining, that figures.
All right, good. We blame the Braves. All right, Gabe, thanks so much. We'll see you out at the stadium.
Sure thing, guys. Thank you.